7-4-8-8. Hey everyone, it's Friday, June 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Yep, folks, it's been a very long week here on the Eastern Seaboard. I got a great show for you. Strap in, here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from an undisclosed location on the eastern seaboard of the United States via the Geek News Central portable studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great show content over there, available via the podcast link. Of course, check out our great blog post as well on the website. And of course, subscribe to the newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And of course, we're going to give some money away tonight. We've got a newsletter winner. I'll cover that here in a few minutes. But boy, I'm glad to be back with you. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana out there. And of course, we've got a few people that are tuning in via the Ustream as well. Of course, I think right now most everyone is probably watching the news, and because late this afternoon, sadly, it was announced that the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, has passed away. And I tell you, I think there's defining moments for people in culture, and I know that for many years people followed Elvis, and of course when Elvis died, it was a shock to his fans. Then we've had other great artists as well who have died, but today I think we're going to see, and over the next week we'll probably see a lot of information on the life and times of Michael Jackson. No matter how eccentric he was, one thing you cannot deny, anyone that sold 770 million records, those was total sales throughout his lifetime, and that's just an amazing, incredible number. Of course, growing up in the 80s, I was privy to watching Thriller, watching some of the first MTV videos with him, and it was quite a privilege to watch. And I know many of you probably were of the age to have been Michael Jackson fans early in the day, and maybe even still today, but sad news again out of Los Angeles of him passing. But I tell you, it's been a crazy, crazy week. My life has been essentially airplane, breakfast. No, it's here. How would it go? Airplane, email. No, airplane, hotel, email, sleep, breakfast, meeting, lunch, meeting, dinner, airplane, hotel, and then the cycle just has continued all week. I have gotten probably 200 to 300 requests from audience members wanting to meet up with me this week. My schedule has not been, just has not allowed it. I'm barely getting maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night as it is. It's been a very, very busy, very productive week. Let's see here, Boston, Philly, Philadelphia. Philadelphia is tomorrow. Where else? Portland, Maine. Three or four other. It's been crazy. It's been busy, busy, busy time, and lots of great meetings with clients. And I'm very much looking forward to going home here on Saturday and ending this whirlwind tour that I've been on. And I should be home for at least, I'm hoping, a month. And my daughter is getting ready to have her 13th birthday, so I have to go home. And, of course, that's a big number in a kid's life, so I have to go home and be dad. Gee, sometimes I feel like I'm playing dad for as little as I've been home recently. But go home and be dad for her birthday and, of course, have a party for her. But let me give you guys a little update on what's been going on. Of course, I've been on the road here this week. Tuesday show obviously did not make it into the into the can because I had gotten into the hotel pretty late, had gotten delayed coming across from Hawaii, landed in Boston, got in the hotel, got everything checked in, got set up, had gotten something to eat, and actually had a meeting with a client, got up to the hotel room about 8, or started to rush to get through to get the show ready, and by 10, I was ready to go live with the show, and I'm not kidding you, I was at least 3 or 4 minutes away from being ready to go, and the power just went boom. And I saw it blinked. It blinked a second time, and then it was out. And now, of course, I had 2 laptops with batteries fully charged. I had Sprint up doing the getting ready to do the live stream on the hotel internet with the other one, and it obviously went downhill from there. I was exhausted, so it was probably just as well anyway that I basically said, okay, forget it. I packed all the stuff up in the dark because I I was checking out in the morning because I was flying out to another city in the evening. And so here I am and in a hotel once again, my 3rd or 4th one this week. And as usual, the bandwidth is 2 thumbs down. So the podcast is being streamed on Ustream tonight. And my show is being streamed with my Sprint EVDO card. I've tried to use the Verizon. I'm going to show everyone on Ustream the Verizon card that I have with me. And all I can say is, those of you that have Verizon EVDO, you're being ripped off. This is worthless. Absolutely, unequivocally worthless. I've only had experience with it in once. A good experience with it in Philly. That was the only place I had good connectivity with it so far. Everywhere else in major cities, 2 thumbs down. So Sprint is definitely the winner on my trial test so far. Okay, anyway, busy week, but some things going on in the podcasting space. One thing I'm doing right now is I'm collecting new shows, and I'm looking to build up a new cache of shows that I listen to and that I promote here at Geek News Central. And I'm basically on the hunt for 100 new shows to talk about and promote. I've gotten my iPod with about 20 shows in it right now from people who sent me emails and said, hey, Todd, check my show out. And I've been listening to them, and I'm going to provide each of those podcasters some feedback, which is going to be cool. But I'll start in 2 or 3 weeks. I'll probably start talking about some of those shows on the podcast here. And then at some point in the future, I'll start little by little publishing maybe in groups of 10. And this is going to kind of be, it's not going to stop at 100. I'm just going to continue to go through and find new shows that I like, and we'll talk about them. Hey, those of you that are following me or actually have friended me over on Facebook, I put up a new page on Facebook over the weekend. Got some family pictures up there. I don't often do that, but if you're, of course, if you ever go to facebook.com/Cochrane, my last name, Cochrane, and friend me over there. I don't think I have my profile set to public yet, so we'll talk about some of those changes coming to Facebook here a little later in the show. But you can see some family pictures and so forth. All right, on Tuesday, we were supposed to announce the newsletter winner. But tonight's I'm going to announce that because we have, obviously, we're a show late in announcing that and due to not having a show on Tuesday. But I want to congratulate Ron Ken for his winning entry. And we had over 3,200 people send in emails with the correct answer. And of course, I was having to really, well, what I was doing was I had some definitions set up to actually move them over. I had to go through and make sure. But Ron's entry was like 1,100 and something. I did a randomizer, and he was the one that came up as the entry. So Ron, I'll be sending you an email, and then I'm going to be PayPaling you a nice, cool $250. Congratulations. So congratulations to Ron for following the newsletter. You can, too. We have more giveaways like this throughout the summer. And all you got to do is follow via the newsletter at geeknewscentral.com, where I deliver the show notes directly to your inbox immediately following the show. As well, we have the GoToMeeting winner as well. I want to congratulate Michael McHenry. Michael's entry was very interesting. I think we had about 30 different entries that were sent for GoToMeeting, folks showing me how they were using the application, show screenshots. But Michael's entry was pretty unique in that he's a tutor, and he teaches adults and kids. He helps them on all levels, mostly middle school, high school, and undergraduates, on particularly math. And when they're having trouble, Michael uses GoToMeeting to connect with them. And then basically via voice IP, he walks them through the actual problems that they may be having. And what's interesting is he uses a tablet computer. So he actually uses his pen. And you can actually see, now it doesn't completely do it in real time, but as the page refreshes, you can see where he has updated on his tablet. Very cool stuff. So a 6-month free subscription to Michael McHenry, the math tutor, for having a very innovative way of using GoToMeeting. Congratulations to him as well. Okay, I think I already talked a little bit about the hotel internet speed. It's been horrible every place we go. I think it's a sign of the economy. I think hotels are just cutting back, and they are not it's been horrible. I called down to the desk today and said, what's your guys' problem? I said, how come your internet's so slow? I mean, it's so slow that I did all of the show prep using my Sprint card on one computer, got all the pages loaded up and everything set, got the email downloaded. Then I moved the Sprint card. I need one of those little MiFis is what I really need, but not a Verizon one, that's for sure. And I moved it over to the other machine that does the stream, got that set up, and then I came up on hotel internet just at the very end before I started the show tonight. But horrible. I mean, every place I've went has been horrible. Primarily Hilton chains that are on, and when you log in, you can tell they're being serviced by AT&T. Horrible. I mean, they must be on, they must have DSL connections at the lowest level. I just can't imagine that many people using the internet in their hotel rooms. And these hotels have not been full. A sign of the economy. I can tell here on the East Coast, things are much down south. When I was down south in Florida, Georgia, and so forth, the hotels were busy, vibrant, lots of businesses going on. But I can tell there is definitely a serious economic impact. First I've really ever seen since traveling is really on this eastern seaboard, northern eastern seaboard. It's been horrible. It really has. Businesses closed, restaurants shut down, no one out eating. First I've really seen that, so I was pretty amazed. So, anyway, that's that. I want to remind everyone we're going to have the GoDaddy giveaway on June 28th. 5 lucky people are going to get 1 year's worth of beta tutelage from me on podcasting. If you have an idea to start your own podcast, feel free to submit your entry. And then on June 28th, we're going to be giving away the GoDaddy giveaway. And, of course, if you're looking for a domain name, virtual dedicated account, dedicated server, really GoDaddy.com is where to go. Pick out those products. And when you get to the checkout counter, don't forget your good podcaster, Todd, and using the promo code Todd, because that'll save you 10% on your order. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Or, of course, you can use the Todd20 code, which will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. So that 20%, Todd20, again, is for 1 year shared hosting accounts. And of course, obviously, we've talked about how Michael was using GoToMeeting essentially to as a tutor, working with different people that he actually tutors. He doesn't have to go to their homes when they're having a small problem. They don't have to come to his office or wherever he works his business out of. Really great way to use the application, and it was very unique and something I hadn't seen before. So you can get a free 30-day demo of GoToMeeting by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. You can find a link to that on GeekNewsCentral.com. Just click on the link either in the show notes or on the banner on the website. Download and get a free 30-day demo, and you can also, you know, get the benefit of using this application for free for 30 days. Again, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Okay, at the end of the show, we've got a pile of voicemails to go through. Actually, one voicemail and a pile of email. So let me go ahead here, and as all of you have tuned in for, you've tuned in for the show, the tech portion of the show. And let me go ahead and get into that portion of the podcast. And of course, we got a nice audience tonight on Ustream. I want to welcome everyone on the Ustream stream. I'm kind of watching the Sunday. Oh, is it Sunday the 28th, Mike? Let me look at the calendar. Someone actually said in the chat that the 28th was a Monday. You're right. We're going to be giving away the GoDaddy giveaway on Monday the 29th. So thanks for the correction on that. Appreciate it. Okay, let me go ahead here. Over on Ace of Ulster's website, and I was going to talk about this on Tuesday because I had actually downloaded Firefox version 3.5 and had been playing around with it. I was pretty impressed with it. Was basically looking at the memory utilization, and I was actually pretty surprised what they have done there. Now, if you have a multi-core computer, you'll definitely want to check out a multi-process Firefox that was demonstrated. A gentleman by the name of Chris Jones has a demo video of showing some of the early progress that a number of the developers of Firefox have made on what they're calling the multi-process of Firefox. It's a pretty cool little video. I think that you'll want to check it out. Those of you that are Firefox fans, I found it pretty intriguing myself. But I'll have the link up to that in the show notes. All right, over on Engadget, it's being reported that Android 1.5, they've released an official SDK for native development. Now, what's unique here is that the software development kit for Android up to this point has been pretty much a Java-based development standard. And so folks have had to have a little bit more knowledge when it comes to developing plugins for the Android. But what they've done here with this 1.5 native development kit is it's going to allow developers to generate C and C++ libraries that run directly on the platform rather than being routed through what they're calling Dalvik. I don't know what Dalvik is. That must be the Java platform that is running on the Android. But the Android team does mention that devs need to be very careful when going native. That they say the applications are going to be more complicated, have reduced compatibility, and will have access to the framework API. So that's kind of interesting. So, but those of you that have C or C++ skills now, you may want to consider doing some development for the Android. I have the link up to this, of course, in the show notes. Over the weekend, there was big news out of Apple and the iTunes App Store, being that an app that was being and this has kind of surprised me that this app actually got approved in the first place. It was an app that had pictures of scantily dressed women in bikinis that people would pay 99 cents for and download. And now, obviously, this is a application where they were trying to get teenagers or something like that to download. But all of a sudden, Sunday, or actually not Sunday, but I guess yesterday was it? I'm messed up here because it's the end of the week. It was probably Wednesday that all of a sudden the app started serving up pornography, and everyone was pretty surprised to see that this was. And the app was pretty simple in that it was only pulling data into the app from an actual website, and it appears that Apple was very quick on the draw, and they pulled the adult content from the App Store. I don't think we all should be at all surprised about this, but some had speculated because of the 3.0 version having the ability to set an adult filter that maybe that it was allowed, but apparently not. So the specific app, which I won't name here in the show, is no longer available, and Apple has pulled it and probably disabled it, I imagine. I wonder if they did anyone download it, and did it get disabled within your iPhone? All right, Windows 7 official pricing has been announced, and this should make everyone pretty happy, in that users of Vista and XP will need to pony up between $119 to $219. Now, it'll all depend on which version of Vista you are running. It breaks down into Home, Premium, Professional, or the Ultimate upgrade. So from $119 to $219. And if you want a full retail disk, The full retail disc starts at $199 up to $319. So a full retail, I wonder if that's a full retail upgrade disc or an actual full version. So even if it's a full version, that's cheaper than what they were selling XP for initially, and of course as well as Vista. Now apparently there's going to be some cheaper pricing where you're going to make tomorrow, you're going to be able to pre-order. Actually, for those of you listening to the show on Friday, you're going to need to be looking online because you are going to be able to pre-order your upgrade cheaper, anywhere between $49.99 and $99. They're saying pre-orders will be strictly limited in numbers and expected to sell out quickly. So we'll see what happens with this. I know that several of the big websites out there, like Engadget, Gizmodo, and others, have some coupons, but they maybe have like only 100 promo codes. So, you know, those are going to go in an instant on those big sites. But we'll keep our eyes peeled for any other cheaper pricing on Windows 7. Those of you that have a Palm Pre, you'll be glad to know that the app catalog over there has seen over 1 million downloads to the 150,000 pre-owners. Well, then, you know, what does that average out to? I guess 5 or 6 applications per pre-owner. And it took them, well, this actually is pretty disappointing. From June 6th to June 24th, that's how long it took them. There was only 18 apps available. Oh, check this out. On June 6th, there was 18 apps, and on June 24th, there were 30 apps. And I'm going to tell you, there's definitely was an advantage to have been in the apps catalog for Palm in the very early beginning, because with only 30 apps available and 1 million downloaded, your chances of getting some serious download numbers was obviously just by the sheer few number of apps available as compared to Apple is definitely an advantage. So if you've got a Palm app that you're developing, or you know someone that is, you're going to want to tell them to hurry up, because there's definitely some advantages to being in the Palm app catalog right now based upon just the sheer few number of applications are available out there. One thing I've been impressed, and I've been actually very impressed with everything I've seen on the iPhone 3G so far, 3GS, is the video quality. And the folks over at MacBreak Video created some pretty cool little videos. I have a link up to its article on Wired, where they actually made themselves a little mount for their iPhone, and have actually been taking video with it in kind of like a little professional holder type of way. And I was actually talking with Chris Perillo about three or four nights ago, working on some advertising for him. And he basically said that what he saw in his 3GS was that as he was holding it up, driving down the road, and actually had it close to the mirror, that he thinks that Apple has put in some sort of anti-jitter technology, so that as you're, you know, typically we all shake a little bit when we're holding a camera, or you're holding your iPhone, you can't hold it completely still, but especially when driving, that he felt that, and I looked at his video he had up on YouTube, which I encourage you to check out and see if I can find a link for it. Amazing quality, absolutely amazing, in that I was really blown away by the quality of the video itself. I had to laugh because my wife, how this story moves on here, is that called my wife, was talking to her, find out how things were going on. I hadn't been able to raise her on her cell phone, and I said, "What's going on with your cell phone? I've been calling your cell phone, I can't get a hold of you." She says, "Well, honey, I was out outside. I had it on my shoulder. I was talking with my girlfriend, and I went over to the koi pond to scoop out some leaves out of the koi pond, and my cell phone fell into the koi pond." And I said, "Okay, how long was it in the water?" She said, "About 10 seconds." So I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's one phone down, and she's got a small Motorola thin phone. And I said, "Well, what kind of a phone do you want?" She goes, "Well, either a G1 or a iPhone." And of course, you know, she really doesn't understand the full carrier thing. And I'm thinking, honey, you could have my Gen 1 iPhone, and we'll put your SIM in it, and then maybe I'll switch over and get a 3GS. And she says, "Wait a minute, That means you would have to get on AT&T. She says, we'll have to have a conversation about that. I am so tempted. You guys are going to have to talk me out of this because that video quality is off the chart. And we're going to talk about some of the things that have been going on with YouTube, primarily since the 3GS has been introduced. Because of the video quality, it's a game changer. It is absolutely, unequivocally a game changer. I can't stress this enough on how well it does video. Of course, it does everything else as good as well. But so, you know, as much as I've resisted the force, gosh, how do I get a 3GS and run it on T-Mobile? I don't think I can because I just will not get the speed that I want. But it just pains me to have to even consider thinking about going and biting my pride and getting an AT&T phone. So we'll see. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet. I think my wife will have a few words of wisdom over the situation as well. But I have a plan. Okay. HP. Now, this made me laugh when I saw this article because a number of years ago, when I was still in the Navy, I went to a advanced electronics school. It was called AVIC-7. Very, very fast-paced. They take you through about 4 years worth of college math in a month. You're taking 50, 60, 70 pages of notes a day, test every 2 or 3 days, high-intensity training for about 9 months. And we all had HP scientific calculators at the time, and it was the first time ever in my life that I learned how to use every function on a scientific calculator. I think I had it was actually a TAC 120, but when I saw this HP calculator that has been introduced as an iPhone app, what they have done here is HP has converted the iPhone into a classic calculator, and they've developed an app that is equivalent to the HP 15C. And when I saw this, it kind of reminded me of my TAC days of using a TI 20 or 120 or whatever the number was. And this is, if you're a geek and you know how to use a scientific calculator, you'll definitely want to go and download this application. It's definitely a good one. Turns your iPhone into a classic basic scientific calculator. So pretty cool on HP's part, but just brought me back down memory lane. All right, there is a step-by-step guide to jailbreak and unlock your iPhone 3.0. And you don't have to get intimidated by this. The folks at Gizmodo have been nice enough to put together a 10-step process, hand-walking you through it. And you should be able to get your iPhone jailbroke pretty easily. And I'll have to think about whether or not I want to do that. Is anybody out there jailbroke their 3GS yet or a 3.0 phone? Talking about the increase in uploads to YouTube. Now, this wasn't all part of the 3GS launch, but it has a part to play in it. It says in the last 6 months, this is from YouTube themselves, a press release by them on June 25th. It says, in the last 6 months, we've seen uploads from mobile phones to YouTube jump 1,700%. He said, just last Friday when the iPhone 3GS came out, uploads increased by 400% a day. Now, don't tell me that isn't game-changing. To see YouTube uploads increase by 400% in a single day based upon the 3GS release, I'm telling you, Apple has done themselves a great favor by putting in place this new camera. And if you can tell I'm quite endured with it, then I apologize. But it is. They've done a real good job here. You know, this is, I'm kind of freaked out here because I'm reading an article on Torrent Freak. And it's almost like deja vu to me. But I could have swore that last week or the week before that I talked about on the show that the Pirate Bay judge was determined to be not biased. Now, maybe they reported that, but maybe what they didn't report was also, the Pirate Bay has been told that they have been refused a retrial. So, I guess everything's been reviewed by the appeal court there, and says there's no bias ruling, can't be appealed, which means there will be no retrial of the Pirate Bay. Instead, the verdict in the Pirate Bay, let me read that. Their no bias ruling can't be appealed, which means that there will not be a retrial. Instead, the verdict in the Pirate Bay trial will be appealed. Okay, so I understand. So they're not going to be able to appeal on the basis of bias, but now they're going to just be able to appeal the standard verdict that was found upon them. So this is it's a big loss by the folks over there at Pirate Bay. And the five individuals that are involved in the case, they are one step closer to going to jail for a year. But I guess the way the courts work over this could drag on for many years. We'll see how this continues to develop. All right, lots of you sent me emails on Google Voice. I'm completely familiar with what Google Voice does. But I guess Google Voice invites are on the way. It's this an official announcement by Google that they're starting to send out invitations. I don't know how many they're sending a day. Mine hasn't come. I've had an invite in. I've asked for a Google Voice account almost from the day that they shut down when they bought the other service, Grand Central, and made the switch. And I've had a request on there for two or three different email accounts and have yet to see anything. One of the listeners on Ustream says, Todd, get the 3GS and then we can get it on Sprint after you get it. Can you get the... I don't think you can get the phone on Sprint, can you? I don't think we can move that over there. I don't think that's possible. If it is, let someone send me an email. I don't think you can, but who knows? Anything's possible. But I'm anxiously awaiting my Google Voice invitation, and I'm sure many of you are as well. Hey, over on TechCrunch, we talked about the Palm apps here for a little earlier. But there's a report been released by AdMob. It's a metric report from May 2009, and it talks about the distribution of users of iPhone apps in the network. Now, of 100,000 active users, greater than 100,000 active users, the number of applications that were actually had that many active the number of applications that actually had 100,000 active users was only 116. Of 322 applications, they had between 10,000 and 100,000 active users. Of 625 applications, only 1,000 to 10,000 active users. 1,246 applications had less than 1,000 active users. So you can see that of 116 applications, only 116 applications were actually attracting more than 100,000 active users. Now, obviously, those 116 applications are making a lot of money, especially if they're a paid app. But the majority, the high majority of applications with less than 1,000 active users is less than 1,000 active users. So that's pretty interesting. And it even breaks it down into percentage. 54% had under 1,000 active users. So very small number, and only 5% of applications had over 100,000. So get some good stats here on that. So sorry for the confusion there. I was trying to read a chart and talk at the same time. Not something to do when you haven't slept well in the last couple of days. How many of you remember the artist Richard Marx? Some of you saying, who? Richard Marx, who? Well, he's got some music that probably was popular in the 80s, maybe 90s, I don't know. But Richard Marx has attacked the RIAA after the 1.92 million Thomas verdict. And he goes on to say in a written release, he says, as a longtime professional songwriter, I've always objected to the practice of illegal downloading of music. I have always, however, been sympathetic to the average music fan who has been consistently financially abused by the greedy actions of major labels. These labels, until recently, were responsible for the distribution of the majority of recorded music, and instead of nurturing the industry and doing their best to provide the highest quality of music to the fans, they predominantly chose to ream the consumer and fill their pockets. So now we have a judgment in a case of illegal downloading, it seems to me, especially in these extremely volatile economic times, that holding Miss Thomas or a set accountable for the continuing daily actions of hundreds of thousands of people is at best misguided and at worst farcical. Her accountability itself is not in question, but this show of force posing as judicial comeuppance is clearly abusive. Miss Thomas Rosette, I think you got a raw deal, and I'm ashamed to have my name associated with this issue. So Richard Marx has basically come out with this statement, and interesting that artists would get on board. Of course, kind of ironic as well with the announcement of Michael Jackson having died today. So I wonder what the pop star thought of peer-to-peer stuff. He never went on the record, I don't think, of saying anything about it. Okay, and of course, I almost forgot, too. We also lost another icon today, Farrah Fawcett. Boy, oh boy, if you were growing up in the 80s or even in the 70s, and like I was, Farrah Fawcett was the bomb. She really was. And even at 62, she was 62 today, or the age of her death, 62, she still is a beautiful woman and truly tragic. Of course, she had been suffering cancer for a number of years. But boy, oh boy, all kinds of icons. Ed McMahon as well this week. So lots interesting how things come in three. MediaLets is announcing the speed test of the 3GS, and this is just talking about performance of the phone itself. And this is kind of interesting. They used as the baseline, they used a 2 GHz Core 2 Duo White MacBook Pro running OS 10, and then they compared it to basically other types of devices. And the lower the number is better. So you take, for example, the iPhone 3G, not the 3GS, but the normal iPhone 3G. This would be a Gen 2 phone, or actually running OS version 2.2.1, had a baseline of 96x, or 132.3 seconds to execute. The iPhone 3G running OS 3.0 had a reference of 36, or 48.7 seconds to load. The T-Mobile G1 had a benchmark of 67, or 91.1 seconds to load the specific application, where the Palm Pre came in at 36, tied the iPhone 3G version 3. But if you look at the iPhone 3GS running OS version 3, the benchmark on that was 12, loading it at 16.5 seconds, so almost three times as fast as the 3G running 3.0 as compared to the 3GS. So they have definitely put some serious work into the hardware underneath the hood and whatever else they've done to speed up the application, because it definitely is a major, major performance boost as compared to some of the earlier versions of the iPhone, or even going head-to-head between the G1 and the Pre. So kind of a cool link there. I have all these up in the show notes. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can send comments to geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Okay, which camera am I using here? Actually, I'm using this camera. I think I need to move this over because aren't I getting into the logo a little bit? All right, let's look. Is that better? Yeah, my head's not in the logo anymore, right? All right, Steve Ballmer had some interesting comments at a recent conference. He says that old media is dead. And this is pretty remarkable for him to say this. And he basically, if you're at all, well, I guess I should give you some background here. There has definitely been a reset in advertising rates. Media companies are seeing blood. And some of the experience I've seen over the past week is that they are getting advertising on media properties at rates they have probably never seen. But because of the economy being slow, they have been able to reset their advertising rates to record low numbers. So obviously this means lower revenue for those people running advertising on TV, internet websites, and podcasts, etc. And he says that we have seen a global reset, and that media companies and website owners and television and radio should not expect the advertising to go back to levels like we saw before. He expects this to be a permanent reset, and that because of the way the economy is and because they've been able to get this reset during this down economy, that this is going to just absolutely, in his kind of words, going to really make a major impact to old media. And this is kind of interesting in saying that. Now, he says there won't be any newspapers, magazines. Here's what he says. There won't be newspapers, magazines, and TV programs. There won't be personal social communications on offline. What does that mean? This is kind of funny how he says this. He says Steve Ballmer's comments about the economic turmoil of offline media and how they could also apply to Microsoft as well. I can't believe that he said, that Steve Ballmer said that there won't be newspapers, magazines, and TV programs. That was definitely taken out of context. So I need to find the original article for you folks, because I had originally read an article, must be this was another one that I linked to, where basically what I had read from the other article was that he said that we won't see a reset, and from that there's going to be major impact to newspapers, magazines, and TV programs. That makes more sense than what this guy's got written on his website. So I get you guys a better source for this. Apologize for giving you what appears to me some information taken out of context as a way to kind of take a slam at Microsoft. I found this over on ubergizmo.com. I don't normally get bad info like this from them. All right, over on arstechnica.com, it appears that MySpace is just, they are cutting staff left and right. Everyone in the MySpace offices, essentially worldwide, are essentially sitting on pins and needles. They laid off 30% of their U.S. staff a week ago. They cleared much of their international offices already. I mean, most of those people have been let go, and they're looking at letting more employees go. This just tells me that MySpace is in a downfall. It's basically in a, you know, it's in a major downward spin. And what do you guys think? You know, the once darling of the market is definitely not doing well. I don't remember the last time I was using MySpace. Of course, I think my daughter uses MySpace from time to time. She doesn't get on there very much. But are your kids using MySpace? Are any of you that listen to shows still using MySpace? What do you think of their relevance? Are you all over on Facebook? Or do you think MySpace is headed towards, you know, basically going out of business? Do you think that will happen? Or what do you think the fate of MySpace will be in the future? I don't really know, but if they're cutting employees this heavily, it's not a good sign for the company as a whole. All right, we, of course, a couple of years ago, gave away some OLPCs, in other words, the one laptop per child laptops, but now OLPC software to power aging PCs. I guess you can get the software originally developed for one lap per child, and now it can be used on any old PC. Sugar on a stick, as it is known, I guess this is how they refer to the software, can be run from a USB drive to give aging PCs a new interface and access collaborative educational software. Software designed for use by children was launched at Linux Tag Conference in Berlin. So what is the actual cost of this? A child-friendly computer is really marked. Yeah, they cost around $200 this year. It doesn't actually say if it's free. It appears it is free. So if you want to play around with the OLPC software, you can do so, and it's available. You can actually download the software. I get to that in the show notes. All right, how many of you on Facebook would consider making your posts that you put on Facebook essentially not private? I would caution you on this, okay? It appears that here in the very near future, if it hasn't happened already, because I haven't been over to look at it, that the new, it's called the Publisher Privacy Control, gives you the opportunity to answer the question, who do you want to tell? In other words, this is who do you want to see post? And this is kind of in response to them trying to compete with Twitter a little bit. I guess this choice is available right now. It says a choice that Facebook users will have when updating their page include options from everyone to see the message, only allowing friends and people in specific networks to see updates, friends of friends, and allows anyone who is a friend with a friend to see it, and friends only. And a custom, so in other words, you can actually set it up to design who you want to see what on your Facebook page. But, it says the goal of Facebook's impeding privacy update is to presumably allow users of the social network to express themselves more freely while not worrying about whether a future employer, for example, might find pictures they consider to be inappropriate. So, so this hasn't happened yet, but you're soon going to be able to make a change to your Facebook application, or actually your Facebook account, and essentially open it up so that everybody and their brother can see what you're saying on there. So, be careful. I mean, especially if you got some stuff on there that maybe you don't want your employer to see. Because if you open it up, then you could, just like any other online space, you could really be setting yourself up here. Okay, got a little science news for you. Apparently, while Atlantis was in orbit, a metal knob floated between a window and the dashboard of Atlantis. Okay, so you think, well, that's not too big of a deal. Except, once back on Earth, the shuttle contracted, which wedged the knob in place and damaged the window. Say initial attempts to free the knob have failed, and engineers may need 6 months to disassemble that section of the orbiter to get this knob out. I guess I need to see a picture of this, because if it's on the window, take the window out. It can't be that hard. This says such a delay might mean scrapping Atlantis early rather than repairing it. Efforts to remove the knob using less invasive techniques continue. So definitely pressurization issues when the spacecraft was probably expanded when it was in space and compressed when it came back to Earth. So definitely caused an issue there. They're lucky. If that had been real bad, it's not good to break a window while on your way in for a landing. Not good at all. Got an interesting post. There's a over on TechDirt, and I like TechDirt in part because much of the reporting over there points me to different blogs that people are writing and opinions that they're putting on their websites. And there's obviously varying opinions across the blogosphere when it comes to copyright. But there's an interesting post that's been made by a blogger that writes an economic blog. It's called the Beckner-Posner blog, and it's over at BeckerTechPosnerTechBlog.com, where a comment is made that, let me read this. This is a quote out of the blog. Expanding copyright law to bar online access to copyrighted materials without the copyright holder's consent, or to bar linking to or paraphrasing copyrighted materials without the copyright holder's consent, might be necessary to keep free writing on content financed by online newspapers from so impairing the incentive to create costly news gathering operations that news services like Reuters and the Associated Press would become the only professional non-governmental sources of news and opinion. So in other words, this guy is saying that he is suggesting that we need to change the copyright laws so that fair use would not be, you would not be able to essentially post anything from any website in any form. And I wanted to talk about it in my opening comments tonight, but I saved it to now because I found this article. When I was flying out, I had a conversation with my seatmate on the flight from, where was it? It was from San Francisco to Chicago. And basically, you know, got on, the guys asked me, hey, how you doing? What you doing? I'm basically, working new media. I'm going to various meetings this week. He said, hey, oh, you work in new media. What do you do in new media? And I talked about that a little while. And he had like five newspapers with him. He had the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, San Francisco Sun or whatever it's called there. You know, he just had a bunch of, and I said, boy, you got a lot of newspapers. I said, I don't remember the last time I read a newspaper. I said, I get all my news online. And he says, you know, that's part of the problem these days, you know. He says, what do you read the, you know, the news websites? So I read the New York Times a little bit. I read Wall Street Journal some of their, you know, their free stuff. I said, but largely I don't read major news sites because most of the news is old. He said, oh, now that's ridiculous because, you know, all these bloggers. And he goes on this tirade about bloggers. Now, First of all, I quizzed him down, and he was not working in new media. He was working in real estate. He had a real estate firm. And he's going on this tirade about how bloggers steal content and how new media people do, you know, they don't do any original work. And, you know, I mean, just on and on and on and on. And I was pretty astonished. And I said to him, so what objections do you have to getting, you know, reading news online? I said, obviously you like to read newspapers. I said, you could be getting that to your computer automatically. You're subscribing to these newspapers. He said, well, I just like the feel of a newspaper. I said, well, I agree. I like the feel of a newspaper too. And I said, but, you know, the news is old. I said, you can't keep current. The stuff is usually 2 or 3 days old. Maybe the headlines are current. Well, he didn't like to hear that at all. But, you know, I'm sure if he read this article, he would agree that this guy, that copyright law should be changed. But I was astounded. I have not run into anybody to this up until this time that I had ever heard anything said like this. And I was astounded. I really was. He wouldn't probably like to listen to my show tonight. So I thought I would share that with you. Have you run into people like that? Do you see that as well? Love to hear your feedback on this. All right, last article of the night. A Connecticut town has told ASCAP, BMI, CSAC to get lost over royalty bills. 3 years ago, the town of New Milford, Connecticut, got a bill from ASCAP demanding $280 in licensing fees. And what they were doing was the city, during the public events, they would play a little bit of music on the park's public PA system. And they said, because you're doing that, you're going to have to pay us a royalty for, you know, letting you play the music. And basically, the folks at this town, the town council members, have basically told them, no, we're not paying. This is ridiculous. And it's a small town, and they had gotten some additional bills from some other agencies where they were trying to charge as much as $3,000 from BMI. These folks, BMI, ASCAP, CSAC, they're all getting greedy, and they want. But yet, do they take care of the artists? You know, are the artists getting fed? Are the artists getting paid? I don't think so. I really don't. All right, let me look at the time here. Love to hear you guys' feedback tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Let me go ahead here and load the voicemail for the evening. And we'll play that first, and then I'll get into all of the email comments, and there's a pile of them. Again, I kind of apologize for the, at this point, relatively short show, but it's been a long week, and it's kind of weird. When I miss a show, it's almost like I get out of the rhythm, and it's almost like it takes me longer to get prepared. And I could never do a podcast that was only once a week. It just wouldn't work for me. So obviously the rhythm to stay good and connect with you guys is 2 shows a week. But let me go ahead and play this again. If you have your own comments, +1-619-342-7365. Here's the voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Jeff from Chicago. I had a comment on episode 487. You're talking about Comcast getting the IPv6. That is for their wholesale customers, which would be things like CDNs, and they do some kind of web hosting stuff I didn't know about, but they have a few million websites. Anyways, just wanted to let everyone know that no, individual customers are not getting IPv6 yet. Most of those modems don't even support it. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the comments. Appreciate it. And that's interesting that I did not see that in that article. So it's going to be their commercial customers, those that are doing web hosting, but not personal accounts. But don't you think once they get that, you know, if they're doing that for those customers, you think they would migrate that into the rest of their network? It'd be interesting to see how that develops, but definitely thanks for the update. All right, let me go ahead and get into the show notes here. Actually, email comments. I got to go back up to the right date, and let's see here. Let's see if I can find where I'm supposed to start here. Okay, I'm sorting through all the submissions for the contest as well. And oh, I got an email from Ron. He said, "Hey Todd, and Ron, aka in the chat room, he says at DJ City, did you hear that Bono of U2 left Apple to work for Research in Motion? Also, Research in Motion is the official sponsor for U2's upcoming U2 360 tour. Here's some links I was able to find and able to dig up." Yeah, that's interesting that he's done that. It makes sense if he's going to be sponsored by this group to sponsor his tour. You would automatically assume that that's, you know, he would start promoting them. Apple's obviously not paying his bill. I want to thank Keith for his inputs on Google Voice and some information on that. Got an email from Joey. He says, Rogers will allow iPhone tethering in Canada for no extra charge until 2010. So those in the U.S. that are stuck waiting for AT&T to get their act together, Rogers in Canada has stunned the iPhone users by not actively trying to screw users out of the right of the gate as they did when announcing the data pricing plan of the iPhone last year. After high-profile backlash, Roger was forced to offer more reasonable data plans for iPhones, and it appears they've learned their lesson this time. So now those of you on Rogers in Canada on the iPhone, you're going to be able to tether your phone immediately and not have to wait. Got an email from Robert. He said, on Saturday the 13th on Twitter and in GNC 46, you lamented about not getting T. Cochran as your Facebook username because the name was gone so quick. It is possible that the Tom Cochran, whose profile appears under the username, may have beaten you out by another way. It appears that some users had been sent an invitation by Facebook to get their names ahead of the general public. That very well could have been. We'll have to I ought to send him a little message and say, I think he just beat me. I don't think this guy had any other contacts as well. I got an email from Tony. I got your entrance on new podcast idea. Russ, sorry I wasn't able to hook up with you in Philly. Just didn't work out. Schedule was too tight. Got an email here. Boy, so many competition entries. Of course, the information we didn't even talk about because it was earlier in the week, but the report about Steve Jobs having a liver transplant, of course, that's been confirmed now by the Tennessee Hospital. You probably all have already heard about that this week, so I won't go into that too much details. Also, email from Trucker Tom talking about the FTC planning to monitor blogs for claims and payments. I actually got an article about that that I wrote up myself on geeknewscentral.com. So basically, bloggers, podcasters are going to have to be careful on who they're promoting without reporting it because the FTC plans to monitor and watch those shows that are they're having issues or they're going to be watching those shows that promote without disclaiming. Let's see here. Todd, I really need your help to learn how to use the GoDaddy domains I just purchased with your promo codes. What I mean is I want to start designing one of the sites I have with what I believe is the website builder tool, and I need to know if I'm on the right track or where I should go for the guidance on creating my web store with the GoDaddy website builder. Do I even use what comes with the package I purchase, or should I use an external web builder with GoDaddy? I really don't know how to use GoDaddy. I want to know if you can give me some advice, please, Todd. And I got this from Googler. I guess the question I have is, what are you trying to do with your web hosting account? Do you want to blog? Or do you want to actually put up an online store? Do you just want to put up a website? Need a little bit more information on exactly what you want to do to give you some ideas. I will say this, if you're thinking about blogging, install WordPress and use that. If you want to build an online store, there are many, many online store web applications that you can download for free. I don't know if GoDaddy has that in their web builder account, but basically you would, if they do have a store type system in the account, you could actually set that up and design it. You may need to have some little bit of web skills to get the graphics right and so forth. But you know, send me an email back and let me know exactly what you're looking to do. I got a Facebook message from Rick. He said, "Hey Todd, my name is Rick. I've been following your podcast for several months now. Excellent format. I'm addicted. Thanks for putting on a fantastic product. I've learned a lot about podcasting from hope that in the future to launch my own own podcast program. It's a great medium as well as a creative outlet for people who love helping other people. Thanks, Todd." And I thank you, Rick, for that. And that's I think the first message I've gotten like that via Facebook. Got an email from Ronald. He says, "Hey, I just came along your show, and I like your podcast, listening now to all shows of the past 6 weeks and above. And in the above show, you asked for a notebook stand to shield you from the heat when you work with your notebook on your lap. I use the following Logitech product, what I really find very useful." He gives me a link to that. "However, I'm not certain if Logitech sells it worldwide, only here, and it's regards from Hong Kong, Ronald." I appreciate your email, Ronald. I'll definitely check that out. Got an email from Derek in Scotland. He says, "Hey Todd, great work with the show, and a big hello from all the HANA. Please find the attached really fantastic audio slideshow from the BBC News website." This is an amazing one, folks. It's an image from the Cassini spacecraft revealing the secrets of the ring planet, and it's of some unique angles that Cassini was able to score. And I want to thank Derek for his link, and I'll have that, of course, up in the show notes tonight. Again, Derek from Scotland, UK. He sent me a second one as well, and this is basically again from Cassini, where astronomers have found the strongest evidence yet of an ocean beneath the icy shell of Saturn's Enceladus, suggesting it could join the exclusive club of watery moons in our solar system. I got an email from Dale in Lodi, California, talking about the space station. It's a USA Today article. I'll have this linked up in the show notes as well. So everyone send me a space article. That's cool. I got an email from Yitz. He says, "Hey, Todd, you don't have to read this on the show." I got to do it. Yitz, I have to, but I thought you may want to see this. "I was browsing around and found one of Leo Laporte's site at ODTV, odtv.me. Take a look at the logo play button on all the videos. Look familiar?" What he's doing, Yitz, he's using our PowerPress plugin on his WordPress site. So I was kind of surprised to see that as well. Okay, I got an email here from Frank. And he's a host of The Rampler at therampler.com. It's a late-night broadcast. He said, "Hey, Todd, it's Frank Edward Nora. We met at several New York podcast meetups and also at one of the NYC podcasts. My current show is called The Rampler. My other show is also currently on a bit of hiatus is The Overnightscape, and I had the premium podcast, Anything But Money, show back in 2007. I'm also going to start doing The Rampler this week as a regular show on a WFMU 91.1 FM in New Jersey and New York. So thanks for that, Frank. I'll definitely be checking your show out. Appreciate it. And Frank's just one of the many podcasters, again, that have asked for me to review their podcast in my 100-show review. I'll give you guys all a report on Frank's and many other shows in upcoming podcasts. Now, I did get an email from a fellow Hawaiian. Actually, I'm not Hawaiian. A fellow Hawaii resident, I should say that, because you don't want to say you're Hawaiian, because the Hawaiians, they will come after you if you say you're Hawaiian and you're not. He said, "Hey, Todd, my name is Derek. I live in Hawaii. I'm one of your local listeners here, and I invite you to the techhui.com website. We don't hear much about relevant Hawaii tech news on your podcast, so I thought I'd ask you this one, which seems fairly relevant to you. He says, in summary, Representative Choi from Manoa introduced a bill this past legislative season that would tax affiliate relationship/referrals online. You can check out the bill, entire bill, by going to, and he has a link here to it. He says, part of the language of the bill is as follows. The term engaging, as used in this chapter with a reference to engaging or continuing in business, also includes the sale of tangible property by a person soliciting business through an independent contractor or other representatives. If the person enters into an agreement with a resident of this state under which the resident for a commission or other consideration directly or indirectly refers potential customers, whether by a link on an internet website or otherwise to the persons, and if the cumulative gross rates from sales by the persons to the customers in the state who are referred to the person by such is at least $10,000 in a 12-month period ending on the last day of the most recent quarter. I don't understand how – I'm going to have to read this House bill completely. I don't know if this is a new tax. I pay taxes in Hawaii on all my income, but I'm going to have to read through this. Maybe this is something new. And I don't know if it's going to refer to me, but Derek, thanks for the link, and I'll go through and read this thing completely myself. And they've also got some comments on the techhui.com website as well that I'll check out. But thanks, Derek, for the local news. I definitely appreciate it. Okay, folks, back in the saddle show, kind of here, for being missing the show on Tuesday. Apologize about that again, but when the power's out, there's not a lot to do. But it's been my pleasure to bring you this show, and I'll be packing the podcast rig up here in a little bit and getting ready to jump on an airplane in the morning from my last destination, and then Saturday morning I'll be going home. I'm very much looking forward to doing so, and of course upcoming is the 4th of July holiday, and I'll be enjoying that. Of course, that's a little more than a week away, obviously. But 13-year-old daughter that's going to be 13 soon, have her birthday and be celebrating that. She wants me to take her to Dave and Buster's, which is one of those places where I'll be spending way too much money letting her play video games. But I guess that's her choice, so that's what we're going to do. But thanks for hanging with me, folks. Thanks for being patient on No Show on Tuesday. As always, email comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotlines +1-619-342-7365. Those of you that came out and hung out on Ustream, thanks for coming out and hanging out. I definitely appreciate it. And I'll hang out a little bit in the chat on that. But for everyone else, we'll see you back in Honolulu for the regular Monday night recording, very late night recording there on Ustream, and, of course, the Tuesday morning release of the audio podcast. Again, everyone, take care. It's been my pleasure. You all take care, and aloha.